I'd like to convene the Finance Committee, and we are at this point waiting for two amendments, one for Representative Greinlein's second bill, House File 2291, and there's going to be an amendment that's being worked on for House File 863, the Hortman bill. So we're going to take up House File 4018, and if the amendment for 2291 isn't here yet, we're going to recess. We were probably going to have to recess anyway for the amendment that's being prepared for the Hortman bill. So we'll take the first bill for sure, maybe the second if that amendment comes down, and then we will recess to a call of the chair. But we do have the we do have a quorum present. We have the minutes for April 25th, 2008, and anybody care to make a motion? I think Representative Simon was here for quite a while to look at the minutes.
I'll move the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Greinlein, why don't we deal with 4018 then?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move House File 4018.
Is that indivisible? Okay, we need a motion on the division report, Representative Greinlein. I was just checking to make sure this one was in your division, if I recall.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Representative Greinlein moves the division report for House File 4018. That motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Greinlein, why don't you move the bill?
All right, thank you. Mr. Chair, I move House File 4018, recommended to pass and placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us. And Representative Greinlein on the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Then I have an amendment. I would move
okay.
HCA-782.
Okay, Representative Greinlein moves the amendment, and you want to comment about the amendment?
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this amendment deletes Section 1, 2, and 4. And should that pass, then I'll describe what remains of the bill.
Okay. That just puts the bill in the order you'd like. Any discussion on the Greinlein Amendment, A-788? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Representative Greinlein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What remains then? Section 3 is striking some obsolete language regarding debt verification, and Section 5 strikes obsolete language regarding certification of debt.
Okay. Any discussion on the bill? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Greinlein, it seems like an odd bill to be moving forward at this time of session. Any particular reason we're seeing this move forward?
Representative Greinlein.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, when I was in high school, I was the English Student of the Year, and I'm very interested in cleaning up language, and this obsolete language is sticking in my craw.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garofalo.
The Representative Greinlein still is an outstanding bill, and I would encourage everyone to vote in favor of it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, then all those in favor of Representative Greinlein's motion that House File 4018, as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, does the title of the bill have to be cleaned up then also when you delete these sections? Because it's referencing to the title, so those reference sections have to be cleaned up then out of the bill along with the deletions.
Representative Greinlein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Anderson, thank you. That language ticks in my craw too, and I think we should have staff clean that up as it moves forward.
Ms. Novak, do you have a suggestion there?
Mr. Chair, the HCA 788 amendment that was adopted corrects the revisor to amend the title. so the title will be taken.
So we're okay then as the bill stands. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Okay. As I mentioned, but a few of you were coming in, we're having an amendment prepared for 2291 that's down in duplicating, and the word we got was that they're very busy down there, and we're also, there's an amendment being drafted for the Hortman bill, so what we are going to do is recess until we get both of those amendments, and then we will reconvene at a call of the chair, and it shouldn't be too long, so I would suggest members to remain in close proximity. So we are in recess.
Yeah. Okay, I think we sent out an email a few moments ago, and most folks are back or coming in shortly. So we have a second bill by Representative Bragg, and we have the amendment here. We also have the amendment to Representative Portman's bill as well. So we'll be ready to go. About 2291, Representative Browning. Maybe on this one, if you don't mind, because this one will have a little bit more to it, I think. And Representative Mariani is going to have an amendment to this one, right?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
I don't see him yet, but I think you indicated that you could move the amendment if he didn't have to be back, but I just want to get to that point. The Representative Browning moved the case one of education plans that they supported for all the child claims. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Mr. Browning, you have to move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move House File 2291 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, the motion is before us, and we have an amendment,
and it's been passed out. It's the H2291DE1, so we'll just call it the DE1 amendment. Representative Brown, would you care to move the amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would move the DE1 amendment.
Okay, and would you like to explain the amendment, because this is a substantive amendment then that you're putting on? I assume you're prepared to do that in the absence of Representative Mariani.
Right. Mr. Chair, members, and maybe Mr. Representative Mariani will come in even as we speak, but in case he does not, these are the provisions that he took off of his bill, his policy bill, on the House floor last night, and that's because they do have fiscal implications, and the bill does need to go to Ways and Means and have those reconciled. But briefly, what the three things that this amendment does is it includes Representative Moe's bill that creates an appeals advisory committee to make recommendations to the Department of Education regarding adequate yearly progress determinations for schools. It includes Representative Folkham's bill that allows high school students who do not pass the math and reading grad tests, you know, when those are new tests, to have an appeals process that would last for a period of time, I think it's 3 years, and the department needs to work out the details. And then it also includes Representative Benson's bill that deletes language that right now requires school district superintendents to annually report on expenditures that they need in order to have students pass the test. And this is something that they have said was not necessary, and so we're this is to be deleted. So, Mr. Chair, that sums up the amendment.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Grayling, anything more on the bill?
Mr. Chair, that sums it up.
The amendment became really the substance of the bill. So, Representative Grayling, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Grayling, so the fiscal note, is that the one here by Carlos. Is that the $575,000 cost to the state in 2009? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Grammy.
Representative Anderson, yes.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Grayling, what will it be costing in this biennium, or in this year, 2008?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, you can see that this is reflected in 09, 010, and for your 011.
There's something I think we need to explain a little bit about the fiscal note. It's not exactly accurate right now. That included all of the fiscal impact of the Mariani bill that, as I understood it, was on the House floor yesterday. Part of that funding is already in 1812. So there will have to be, and that's another good reason to be sending it to Ways and Means, there will have to be another fiscal note requested, and it's my understanding it's going to be some number less than what's in this old fiscal note, because part of the funding is already past the House. But maybe, do you have anything to add to that, Representative Mariani, or maybe we can have staff comment on that as well.
Well, Mr. Chair, you're talking about the 500 and something.
575 for
2009. Mr. Chair, that does include provisions for the school report card. That bill, that provision actually went through this stream and became part of House File 1812. The Senate is currently attempting to account for most of those provisions. What's before us today then are the other non-report card provisions that have to do with the grad test appeal, the AYP appeal process, and then a small Benson provision that requests the department to tell us how they can eliminate duplicative reporting required of school districts. And so that it's the numbers related to those that are relative to the amendments before us today. And I can certainly speak on some of these if you want, but my understanding is the amendment is on at this point.
Yeah, it is, but the bill, of course, the amendment was put in the shape that the author wanted it, which is really the bill now. I'm going to call on Mr. Grohl because he's identified, it's not the full 75, and he's identified basically what a new fiscal note would show as it goes to Ways and Means when it gets there.
So, Mr. Chair and members, if you look at the fiscal note of House File 3316 on page 5 of 7, there's a table of the costs that were identified in that bill, and there are three sections that tie into the amendment that was just adopted. If you look at Section 11, School Accountability, the $80,000, Section 11, Subdivision 1A, the $143,000, and Section 50, the Data Collection Analysis and Report, $51,000. Those three provisions are the ones that were adopted in the amendment, and they total $274,000.
Okay, this all originally started with Representative Anderson, but I just wanted to clarify, Representative Anderson, that there was a change as a result of the amendment. Do you have any follow-up, Representative Anderson? Okay, Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair, my staff informs me that on the Section 11 part, the $80,000, that in terms of the amendment before us today, it's actually $26,000. What they did is they put together some of the report card provisions into that $80,000, so that's already connected with the report card. So that $80,000, according to this fiscal note anyway, is a $26,000. Dollar, and the difference is flows with the report card.
So it'd be a little less than 250 is what we're talking about now then with looking at the old fiscal note with that adjustment that Representative Mariani just pointed out. Pro Tem Grilling.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm glad Rep. DeMariani came in and Mr. Kroll clarified, and hopefully Rep. Anderson then sees that I stand corrected, because it is the Moe and Slocum fiscal notes, not the Mariani one, and therefore there are in the Slocum one some costs in 08.
Okay. Representative Grassel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Representative Grilling, on page 3, on paragraph C, it outlines the process by which, if the commissioner recommends continuing the process, what would happen. And I apologize if maybe I've missed it somewhere else in the bill, but what is the process if the commissioner, by the date determined here, does not recommend continuing this process? What happened?
Mr. Chair, now that Rep. DeMariani is here, I'm going to let him address his amendment. I'm just a senator here, and this is a policy issue.
Rep. DeMariani.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, if you can just help me catch up to the line reference again.
Sure. Mr. Chairman and Representative Mariani, on page 3, beginning on line 11, and I'll just read this here, it says the commissioner must evaluate the effectiveness, da-da-da. If the commissioner recommends continuing the process, and then it outlines some things the commissioner must do. My question is that if the commissioner recommends that we not continue this process, is that it? Is it over with? Or is there somewhere else in the bill that I'm missing some language? I'm looking for that alternative path of what happens if this, you know, we turn over graduation standards to the local site administrators and they start willy-nilly passing people based on what criteria they want. And the commissioner at some point kills this, what's that alternative path, or do they just do it?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, it is the intent of the author and the chair here that this was to be a 3-year effort, and if that's not clear, we can certainly clarify. We referenced in the previous sections, I believe in section or on page 2, paragraph B, that this attributes to the corresponding years for the test in which the year in which the test will be taken. And so if that's not clear enough, we can certainly clarify. I think it's an appropriate question. The whole policy intent here was to acquire for the state during an incredibly critical period of time an ability to have a safety valve in the case that the worst case scenario unfolds. And members, the worst case scenario right now is that almost half of our 10th graders are not going to hit proficiency, and therefore, depending on where that cut score is set, are not going to get a diploma because they're not going to pass the grad test. And so the state of Minnesota is walking a pretty dangerous line here. Maybe we want to walk there. Maybe we can remediate almost 50% of our current 10th graders in terms of math proficiency in the course of 1 year. I tell you, people out in the field are telling us that they may not be possible. So anyway, I'm giving you more than what you asked for. We can certainly come up with much more clear language, but the intent here is that it be a 3-year, sunsetted attempt. And then, obviously, the request of the commissioner is to report back to us so then we can evaluate and see whether or not what our next steps might be.
Representative Garofalo, Mr. Chair and Representative Mariani, I think you've highlighted your intent. I don't need any substitute language. It doesn't mean I'm going to support the bill, but I think you should answer my question. Thanks.
Any further discussion? Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Either Representative Riley or Representative Mariani. It says in your fiscal note that there's a half FTE scheduled for 09 to be employed, and then it goes away in 10 and 11. But it shows that you've got money allocated for 10 and 11 for this. I take it it's the amendment that's being added on here. I'm just wondering what happens there. What's the FTE designed for? And then are there details go beyond 10 and 11 for this language?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mariani.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, it might be a better question asked of the department. We actually have some pretty severe differences with the department about the need for FTEs. For instance, on the appeals process, for the AYP appeals process, the department has shared with us that right now there's kind of this loose appeal work that's going on. Many of the issues that they identify here developing and disseminating appeals process procedures, distributing materials. They're claiming that that's going to require additional staffing, but they're currently doing that work. We're really much more refining what that work is going to look like. If there is a legitimate, so what I'm saying is that currently in the department, somebody's doing this work. We're refining what that work is, and now that in the system will translate into another additional staff person. Clearly, the directive here is to do work that to refine work that the department is already doing. And so we're kind of in this fiscal war battle with the department. And, you know, frankly, members, I think as a legislature, we need to be awfully concerned with and I'm sure all of you have run into this at some point or another with the sort of the primacy that departments wind up exerting over legislative rights and authority and accountability through fiscal notes that really make no sense in terms of the work that we're asking them to do. And so, you know, in terms of whether that FTE continues or not, I guess that's a question for the department, but to the degree that this work is already happening, then yes, I assume that FTE would continue. It is my argument that being responsible in terms of keeping our directives to them within their scope of work right now, that I think we just tell them, look, just do it. We're exercising legislative authority and accountability here to send that directive to you as a department.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then Representative Grayling renews her motion that House File 2291, as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Thank you, Representative Grayling, Representative Mariani. And
thank you.
Did you have a question? Oh, well, I thought I heard you say you had a question. The next bill in is House File 863 by Representative Hortman and Representative Vaugenius. That was in your division. Would you care to move the report?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. I move the Environment and Natural Resources Finance Division report for House File 863, First Committee Engrossment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Now we have an amendment that Representative Grayling's name appears on, but this is actually an author's amendment that would put the bill in the form you would like to present it, and then later we'll have an amendment by Representative Junkie. Representative Grayling?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move on behalf of the author 8086-3823.
Okay, the motion is before it, and this is simply to put it in the form that she would like. So any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Portman.
Would you like to hear, Mr. Chair?
To me.
If I move the bill?
Oh, excuse me. We've got to move the bill. I got ahead of myself. Representative Wagenius.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House File 863, First Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'll tell you about my bill briefly, and then I will tell you what's in the folders that the pages will be passing out to you. House File 863 is an air pollution bill. What it does is it sets stricter air pollution standards for motor vehicles in Minnesota. It would adopt a standard that's in place in 13 other states. It would restrict the amount of pollution coming from motor vehicles, both the smog-forming pollutants and greenhouse gases. Minnesota has traditionally been in attainment of the Clean Air Act standards, but we do have some air quality problems, and so it's important that we do everything we can to stay in attainment and control both smog-forming emissions and greenhouse gas emissions. The amendment that we adopted is compromise language that I worked on with the Minnesota Farmers Union. We added language making clear that the Pollution Control Agency cannot adopt any changes to these regulations without giving notice to the governor, the Commissioner of Commerce, the Commissioner of Agriculture, and then the relevant committees in the House and Senate. It also indicates that the standard applies only to air pollution standards for motor vehicles and not to any fuel standards. It makes very clear we are not adopting any fuel standards from any other state in the country. It adds to the list of excluded motor vehicles, farm machinery, and tractors. And it requires the Commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency to annually report for each manufacturer the amount, the makes and models of flex fuel vehicles offered for sale in the state of Minnesota, which of those flex fuel vehicles are optimized for best performance on E85, and it also asks the Pollution Control Commissioner to provide a report every year on how many E85 pumps there are in each of the 50 states, to the extent we can find that out, what the proportion of the market sale or the gross sales of E85 are in each of the states, and the market share as a percent of all the fuel consumed in the 50 states. And that is to take a look at what's happening in other states that have adopted this standard and to see, to confirm that there is no negative effect on the E85 market. I will very quickly identify what's in the folder. I know this is a complicated bill, and I know it has generated a lot of attention and controversy, but I will walk through the handouts really quickly because I wanted you to have enough information to make a well-informed judgment on the bill. On the left side of your folder, the first packet is entitled Air Quality. Representative Joe was very clear with me. He isn't so concerned with the air quality in the Twin Cities, but he's concerned with the air quality in greater Minnesota. And the first three pages of the air quality packet indicate that we have air quality problems all over the state of Minnesota. The air quality in Duluth is almost as bad as the air quality in the Twin Cities, and the air quality in Brainerd isn't looking too great either. Another portion of the air quality handout indicates that the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce has estimated if we fall out of attainment with the Clean Air Act standards, it will cost $200 to $300 million to get back into attainment. So I know nobody likes vehicle emissions testing stations, and my bill would never bring those back. In fact, it would help keep them gone because it would restrict the smog-forming pollutants from motor vehicles and keep us in attainment. And there's some information on the difference between the EPA standard and the California standard on the last page of the air quality handout that shows you how much less smog-forming pollutants will be emitted in Minnesota if we adopt the standard in House File 863. The next packet talks about the cost savings to consumers. While there is a projected increase in the cost of a vehicle, the savings monthly in fuel outweighs the increased cost. So the Minnesota Climate Change Advisory Group has estimated that Minnesota consumers would save $239 million in between now and 2025. And the University of Minnesota Center for Transportation Studies put a present value number on the value to consumers of adopting these standards. At $3 a gallon gas, the net present value is a $900 benefit. At $3.50 gas, it's a $1,200 benefit. And at $4 a gallon gas, it's a $1,600 benefit. The next packet is other states that are enacting the clean car standards. New Mexico and Washington State have very similar profiles in terms of the percentage of their fleet that are trucks and the percentage of their fleet that are cars and how much of their state economy is reliant on agriculture. States with demographics just like ours and economies just like ours and fleet mixes just like ours have adopted these standards. The last packet on the left-hand side of your folder is one entitled Impact on Dealers. In the 1990s, the state of New York adopted this standard, and the auto dealers in New York were very concerned. They thought that this would drive sales to other states. And in the article that's attached, you see that the past chairman of the New York State Automobile Dealers Association says, we didn't see any drop-off in sales. The things that they feared did not come to pass. On the right-hand side of your folder, the first packet it may say general information. That makes clear that the Street Route Association is not opposed to this bill. We put in language that they like. The second packet is about the ethanol red herring. There is no problem with this standard in E10, in E20, or in E85.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but usually when you get a bill this far to finance, you just hit the financial aspect. If she's going to testify on the whole bill and give all the good points about the bill, are we going to allow the opposition to testify and go through the whole thing all over again? We've already heard this in a couple committees.
Yeah, we take out 10 to 4, 4 or 5. So
I just wanted to make sure, not a lot of the members on this committee were in the other committees, and we had multiple hour hearings, so I did want to be up to speed.
I think it's just about done. Representative Harden, aren't you just about?
That's about it. That's really about it.
Okay, I'm informed that when I was moving a little bit too rapidly there, we need to readopt the Greiling amendment because the bill technically hadn't been moved yet. So Representative Greiling again moves her amendment that we put on a few moments ago. Any discussion on what was the number of that amendment? A23. That was the amendment to put the bill in the form that the author wanted, but we hadn't moved the bill. So any discussion on that amendment? We've got somebody else who's about to recognize it. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And could the author explain what the line 1.8 and 1.9 do on the amendment? The must not include any fuel standards set forth in California. If you could explain that to me.
Mr. Chair, pardon. Representative Mahoney, in other states where they've adopted the Clean Car Act, they simply refer to adopting the low emission vehicle program in Title 13 of the California Code of Regulations. The Minnesota corn growers don't like substantial portions of Title 13, and they happen to be portions of Title 13 we were never intending to adopt, and that aren't referred to when you say the phrase low emission vehicle. But we thought, for the sake of clarity, it was better to make clear that we are excluding those portions of the California Code.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative
Hortman.
Mr. Chair, and maybe Mr. Representative Mahoney covered it. My basic question was if the author can explain to us the effect of the amendment, and maybe the second question, Representative Hortman. Are we limiting the fuel mileage requirements from increasing? Is that what effectively you're limiting here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, no. What we're looking at is the pollution that comes from a vehicle, and whether it's from the air conditioning refrigerant system or the smog forming pollutants that come out of the tailpipe or the greenhouse gases that come out of the tailpipe. There is a correlation between carbon dioxide pollution and fuel economy, but that is not a consistent relationship, and there are other things that we really focus in on rather than fuel economy.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We now have, we're done with the presentation, Representative Hortman, so that was just a correction to an earlier mistake by the chair. We now have the Junkie Amendment before us. And it's being handed out. Representative Junkie, while it's coming out, do you want to begin to explain the amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll move the 1659X amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us, Representative Junkie.
Members, as it's coming out, I'm offering this amendment today in finance. I would have preferred to do it in another committee along the way or somewhere else, but with the chair's permission, and the committee's indulgence, will do it here. Clearly, there's lots of concern with this bill by many people, and it was clear when we had an informational hearing down in the Agriculture Committee a few weeks ago that there's two sides of this issue, and they're pretty much diametrically opposed, 180 degrees. And that's concerning to me and has given me pause to say we need to do a couple things. And on behalf of the agriculture interests, and particularly the ethanol interests out there, which I see there's a sheet been handed out with a coalition and opposition to the bill, trying to address some of those concerns, which is the purview of our committee, and as chair, I'd like to do that. This bill does two things. Number one, it lays out a whole list of items that need to be addressed and answered concerning ethanol, flex fuel vehicles, flex fuel vehicle fleets, E85, and other concerns with those products. As you know, we're going to hit a billion gallons of ethanol production in this state. Minnesota's been a leader on biofuels, and we want to make darn certain that whatever we do doesn't affect that industry or the production of those products. So this lays out a request for proposal for an academic institution in the state to address concerns that you can see listed on the two pages. And then they come back next legislative session and report back to the legislature with this study. It's really more information gathering than study, quite frankly. Then the second part of this delays implementation of this bill from 2008 on the second or third page, page four, changes the date from 2008 to 2009, which basically gives us one more legislative session to address if these concerns come back and are realized. It gives us a legislative session to address it. I think, frankly, it also gives us pause to understand how a new administration is going to be handling clean air standards, because we will have a new administration by this time next year. And frankly, I would hope there's some resolve to the lawsuit that's still pending out there regarding CARB and the federal government. So I don't think it's a bad thing to push this implementation date back at least so the legislature next year can get a handle on this, particularly in my case as it pertains to the rural agriculture interests and their concerns. So, Mr. Chair and members, I would move this amendment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Duncan, and I agree that this is a good amendment at this time. I did want to suggest that at line 2.25,
no,
perhaps Representative Duncan would also like to include delete 2012 and insert 2013.
That would be terrible. But before we do that, Mr. Chair, I don't want to confuse anyone. I do have two oral amendments, too, that I'll incorporate, if you'd allow me.
Incorporating the...
I will incorporate the suggestion of Representative Hortman to change...
Line again.
Line 2.25, at the end of the line, add delete 2012 and insert 2013.
So I'd incorporate that, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and then you had a couple.
And then I have a couple, they were typos. This was done, obviously, on the fly this morning. That's why you all were waiting. Line 1.23 of the amendment, after GM OnStar, insert and similar computer, and then after system, put an S, system. So it should read, an analysis of using the GM OnStar and similar computer systems to determine, etc. And then that's line 1.23.
So you're incorporating that into your amendment.
I'll incorporate that. And again, OnStar is just an example. There's other computer systems and other vehicles. And then on page, I see a typo on page 2.15. The test should be tested with an ED. And there may be others, but we'll, Representative Fortman and I will certainly work to make any corrections or additions as we go forward here. And I'd incorporate those changes.
Okay, so the amendment is before us. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Tolbert.
As I look at the effective date and take the amendment along with the bill itself, I know we're pushing things out, and I'm trying my best to fit things into the availability of money that's available. Just let me give you some numbers. I think the February forecast had in the environmental fund a total of $412,000 remaining for this fiscal year. We've spent $134,000 from the house. In fact, we will spend another $57,000, I think, in ways and means today. And the forecast has a deficit in the next biennium of about $7 million in that particular fund. But my question is, if we are pushing it out, and that's fine, but if you look at the amendment that was adopted, that's being proposed, and then on section 2, on page 4.21 to 4.25, the law that was already passed in 1812 has a rulemaking authority, and we're pushing it out to September 30th of 2009. That's when it must be made and effective by that time. But it would seem to me that the cost would be some of it into this biennium as well, because you can't take rulemaking and do it in July, August, and September, 3 months, unless I'm mistaken on that. Is that enough time for the rulemaking to start at the end of the biennium and be done by September 30th of 2009?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hilbert, in the other states that have adopted the Clean Car Act, they incorporate by reference the California regulations that apply, and so the rulemaking is actually pretty straightforward. And because 13 other states have done it, we'll simply be copying what they did.
Mr. Chair, as we go forward, I'll gather some more information, and I just want to make sure that we are pushing the cost into the next biennium as well. I'm concerned about the next biennium on that cost, and I know there's flexibility in that account as well. But we're going to spend some money on the study or whatever it is. There may be some resources available here. I just need to have that flexibility in the cost. I want to alert people to that as opposed to the next committee.
Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair and Representative Junkie, I'm glad that you said that you'd be working with the author as this moves forward, because I certainly have just a quick reading of the bill for 5 minutes here, or the amendment. I had more than two areas where I thought I'd say you and the author of the bill overreached. So I'll have conversations with you and the author, because it sounds like you're heading someplace else to have more conversations. But I just want you to know that although I'm going to support the amendment, I still have reservations about the amendment.
Representative Anderson. Okay. Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if this is a question for you, Mr. Chair, or for Chairman Solberg, but I don't see any appropriation in the bill for paying for this study. I'm curious whether that's intentional, whether we're just going to make the department or the Pollution Control Agency eat it out of their current budget. I can't imagine that there's not going to be a cost associated with it. I know we're going to have the U or somebody at MNSCU do it, but there's a cost somewhere. I'm just wondering where that's being accounted, or if we're just going to make the PCA eat it.
Well, I'm not sure that Representative Solberg and I would necessarily have the same answer, but we might. But the House file 1812 is carrying, as he alluded earlier, $134,000 for this bill, but it was directed a little bit differently in the language than what this amendment would now do. So there would have to be, in ways and means, and or in that conference committee, as the House establishes a little different position with this bill. But Representative Solberg, am I...
Mr. Chair, I think you're pretty accurate on that, with one additional thing. We are asking for a fiscal note as right now on the amendments, both amendments. We will see what that cost is, and then on ways and means we will be able to redirect that appropriation of the $134,000. They have delayed the action in this amendment for the spending of that $134,000, not in this biennium, but we want to find, I want to find out what that cost is. If the cost is $50,000, then my, what I talked about earlier, having some cost in this biennium, I'm alleviated of that concern. We will get some cost in it, and I don't suspect that it'll be more than $134,000. I think it's the intent of the people who have negotiated this kind of a compromise to use those resources for this part of it. So I want to see what the resources really cost. And then in ways and means, we'll do this. I probably have another amendment to redirect that cost.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I appreciate that, Representative Solberg. And Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that if we're going to, this isn't going to be an insignificant study, and so we should just make sure that we're accounting for the cost of doing it. The other question
it I... Representative Coles, if I might, ask Representative Fortman to comment on what has been done relative to studies already, because I think Representative Dunkey referenced gathering additional information, and there's already been a major study completed, but maybe Representative Fortman, if you don't mind, to seeing that we're going down that road, to comment on what's been done to date.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, the University of Minnesota Center for Transportation Studies received an appropriation last year for $400,000 to study greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector, and as part of that study, extensively examined this standard, and so there's been a lot of work already done. Additionally, the governor contracted with the Center for Climate Change Strategies to run a stakeholder process, and during that process, much research and work was done. So there is $800,000 worth of work that's already been done on this issue, and will help keep the cost down for doing answering these additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Portman. That is helpful, and I hope that does help keep the cost of the RFP down. Mr. Chairman, the other question I have, and this is either for you, Mr. Chairman, or for staff, others who have been here longer than I have, I don't recall ever seeing in the 6 years I've been here an instance where we adopt legislation and then say we're going to study it. We typically do a study first, and then, in fact, we just had the cap and trade bill on the floor this week, and we are studying that, and then the legislature under that bill, assuming it were to make it through conference committee, be signed by the governor, the legislature has to affirmatively act to adopt the recommendations in terms of implementation for that study. And so I guess the question, Mr. Chair, is have we ever done this before where we say, this is what we're going to do. Oh, yeah, but we're going to study it and then decide if we're going to do it, or then we're going to decide if we're going to back out of it. It seems to be a bit of a backwards process, but maybe it's happened before that I'm just not aware of.
Well, and of course, one of the reasons that when you're referencing study, I guess we could argue that there's been an $800,000 study already, and we're going to gather some additional information, and that's going to be reported back to the legislature. So it's not exactly as though it hasn't been, at least in my view, had a prior study.
Well, then, Mr. Chair, I guess we wouldn't need the amendment. The amendment says, the line 1.6 and 1.7 says, the commissioner of the Pollution Control Agency shall issue a request for proposals from academic institutions within the state to complete a study. We've already done $800,000 of studying, and that's great, and that may reduce the cost of this. But if we need to study, I guess the process is a little confusing to me. I'm just not sure if we've ever done it this way before, and that's not to say that we can't. Just because we haven't done it this way before doesn't mean we can't now. But it seems a little peculiar.
Well, that's one of the decisions that we'll be making when we vote on the amendment. Actually, earlier today when we were talking, I'm just speaking now personally, about study, I think it's really gathering some additional information. I think, as the author pointed out, the bill is one that is of very high interest, and there are some people in the community and on this committee and in the legislature that would like to gather some additional information, and that's what we're doing as it moves forward. But perhaps maybe the maker of the amendment might want to respond, Representative Dunkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that was discussed as we were drafting and waiting for the amendment. And, you know, I think it's okay I think there, I will acknowledge the width that's been put into this already, in how many committees and along the way, and it's not my intention to torpedo that work. I do think it's easier, though, to have, obviously we want the implementation after the next legislative session so we can act. I think it'd be much easier. Again, we wouldn't be doing these studies right now if we would have maybe last year come through some ag committees with this, so we could have talked about ethanol and other things prior, but we didn't. So I think it's appropriate to fill in the gap, and it's very simple. Next year, this study will come back to the ag committees, and we will draft bills as they pertain to this study if we need to. Or, like I said, new administration, maybe they're going to adapt California nationwide, and we'll be sunsetting that section. I think there's a lot of things that can happen. I acknowledge the work that's been done by leaving the language intact, but again, it pushes it back to September of 09 for implementation, which I think is plenty of time for the legislature to act. Otherwise, they'd have to do this whole process again next year, and that's not my intention.
Mr. Chairman, maybe for staff, have we done this before? I mean, and if the answer is no, that's fine. I just want to understand if we've done it. This seems a peculiar approach, and that's not to say we can't do it. I'm just curious if we've done it before, if staff knows of any examples.
Ms. Novak, can you think of any?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not aware of anything that's been done precisely in this fashion, but that doesn't mean it hasn't been done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any
Mr. Chair, I just had some questions on the amendments, and maybe it's words I don't understand, but line 1.13 and 1.14 before E85, is that supposed to be at or of?
Of.
That's a typo.
Again,
okay.
That's a type really fast. This
okay. So that
I,
was.
I think four typos changes too much to
fair. Okay.
And
I think we'll.
Any typos in there will let us correct.
Okay.
We'll get a good one here before. If there was an official E85 term out there, some OT, and I said no.
Before it's in the law books, there will be a good proofreader or two that will go over.
Mr. Chair, on page 2, thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2, I was just looking at some of the language and trying to see if there was a legal definition for on line 2.14, real world gasoline as opposed to
and
out of this world or what. I'm trying to figure out what real world gasoline is.
Mr. Chair, as Representative Hortman and I sat in my office, if you can affirm this, that was the first question I asked, was what was real-world gasoline? And again, just in deference to the speed that this was drafted, the folks upstairs tried to could not think of another phrase at this point in time. Doesn't mean we won't. And that was one of them I had earmarked, Representative Seifert, to spend another hour trying to decipher and figure out exactly the descriptive word there. This is not going into statute, it's going into session law, and so I let it fly right now. But I agree with you, we maybe need to think of a better term there, but I don't know what it is today.
Okay, Mr. Chair, that would probably reflect on 2.19 of what are the real word emissions impacts. And I know real word a modifier of.
Yeah.
Representative Tunkey, maybe there's some subtlety here I don't pick up on, but would it not accomplish the same thing if we just said what are the emission impacts of using?
Yeah, maybe just deleting it.
I think that might eliminate some questions, so why don't you, if it's all right with you, just incorporate striking real world, striking the S after emissions, and then just say what are the.
Mr. Chair, I would incorporate that on 2.19. However, on 2.14, I still think we need a different word in there because we're trying to get on actual types of gasoline that may be utilized in Minnesota. Maybe that's it's that simple as spelling it out.
I was going to suggest there just on gasoline, but
we say normal.
Tested on gasoline.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there's no such thing as normal gasoline. What I learned in working on this bill is every state has a unique blend, and I didn't know before working on this bill that St. Hills mixes it differently in the summer than they do in the winter, and every state in the country has different
right.
formulation. So
Representative Hortman, if we just said on gasoline.
Or, Mr. Chair, I think it would have to be more Minnesota-specific gasoline grades, because you just heard there's a different grade for winter mix up here. There's a different grade for summer mix. There's E85. There's E20 we're coming to. Blender pumps have E30 and E50. And that's our dilemma here, is there's...
But you just said
works. Right. And I think what I just said works.
Okay, well,
we'll take care of it.
We'll let that then, if it's all right with Representative Seifert, he drew it to our attention. But I had, when I was reading it, quite honestly, the same thought. I wasn't sure what real world meant. But I think they'll try to craft something that maybe is a little more Minnesota specific, if that's the issue. There must be a way of some of our good words, Smith people, as it moves forward, taking a look at that. Representative Seifert?
So, Mr. Chair, did the author agree that real word was going to be deleted on 2.19?
How about, Mr. Chair, I'll do this. Yes, I incorporated that, Representative Seifert. So it reads, what are the emission impacts of using Minnesota gasoline? And I would move to delete the real world on 2.14. Whether FFVs are tested on gasoline grades sold in Minnesota.
Okay, you're going to incorporate that.
I will. And that would include, just for the intent here, again, winter, summer mix, E10, E85, regular unleaded. Our blender pumps now sell E20, E30, and E50.
Okay, that's those two suggestions, and the author of the amendment has incorporated in the amendment. Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Seifert, were you done?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I agree with Representative Coles that I think we should do the study first, and we just had the author say I didn't realize we had all these different blends of gas and so forth. And I look on page 2 and it's got all this about adopting California code. I've been here for 12 years and I don't remember us ever passing a bill referencing another state's code and then below here saying, we're gonna if California emissions changes, then somehow we're going to nullify our stuff based on what another state does. I really question whether it's even constitutional, because the legislature, at the end of the day, makes laws from session to session. But the study is fine, but I think the top part on page 1 should say delete everything after the enacting clause, rather than leaving this legislature. I know the makeup of the legislature. Representative Duncan, you do too. They're not going to, if this is unworkable, I don't even know that they're going to repeal it, to be honest. I think the study should be first, see if we can do this, and then if it makes sense, do it in the future. But I think it should be a delete everything after the enacting clause and do the study and not the other way around.
Representative Houtson?
Online with the same real
world. Any further discussion on the junkie amendment? Senator Mariani.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hortman, so this has been worked out. You're okay with this amendment. I just want to express my legislator's intent. And I hear you, Representative Seifert. We struggle with this in Environment Committee in terms of referencing California, but the reality is the reality. All states are stuck between choosing only two standards, and frankly, I think that flows from huge failure on the federal government to establish meaningful standards in the first place. And so they put states in this position, which is very awkward, and as a Minnesota legislator, I absolutely get it that we're going to be referencing, another state's codes and standards, but that's the hand that was handed to us by the federal government. So I think it's absolutely prudent for us to be able to very carefully look at what emanates out of those and what underpins those standards in California. But, I'm a little bit with Representative Coles, although my position here is I think the studies have been done. And I would hope, members, that none of this, adopting this, doesn't tell the people of Minnesota that Minnesotans are not going to move forward with a modern clean car standard. Americans want us to do this. Minnesotans want us to do this. So, Representative Junkie, I was pleased to hear you expressing your intentions here, because I think it's very important. You know, there's kind of a level of trust here that we've been struggling with, and I know that, you know, your folks in your committees have been struggling to be able to pull this into, you know, to make sure that we do the proper vetting in agriculture, and I'm all for that. The members, you know, most of us are ready to go ahead, establish our clear intent here, and I think it's proper that we in fact look at those California issues. I think it's proper for your committee to look at those, Representative Junkie, but I hope that that doesn't mean we're looking at those to eventually head off and not adopting a clean car standard. I am a little concerned that we're pushing the date off here, but you know, you all have agreed, and you're honor bound to work with one another. And but, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your indulgence. I just want to clearly state this legislator's intention that Minnesota move forward with these standards.
Okay, Representative Browning.
And, Mr. Chair, just to reflect similar sentiments, I will be voting. I know it's a compromise. I'm sure it's going to pass, but I will be voting against the amendment, because I think what the regular representative calls is that we have done. It's not that the cart is before the horse. We're doing it and then studying it. It's that we have studied it, and still it's being delayed, and sometimes you need more study, but sometimes it's just a delaying tactic. And so I'm going to be voting no on the amendment. That's the irregular part, is that we took $800,000 worth of two very legitimate studies, one from the governor and one from the university, and yet we have to study it some more and delay. That's irregular.
Representative Ruth Savino.
Well, the current members, you know, it's obvious that I'm not very supportive of the bill itself, but Representative Mariani, I don't know what Minnesota you look at and you say you want to move forward with a clean car standard. I can't believe the number of SUVs and trucks I see going down your freeways every day. And then there's a snowstorm and they're all in a ditch, and I'm wondering, how the hell am I not in a ditch? And I got a front-wheel drive car, and these people got SUVs with four-wheel drive, and they're in a ditch. You know, it's a status symbol or something. First of all, so I don't know where the mandate is to do this. Secondly, you know, I'm not very often agree with Representative Seifert, but I don't recall my 22 years here giving another binding a legislature that we're going to follow California's laws or any other state laws. You know, we have Congress, we have congressional representation in this state and two senators who at least we can talk to if we adopt a federal law. But I don't know if I can talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I don't even know any state legislators from California. So what we're doing here I think, unprecedented. And finally, let me just say this, Representative Dryden. You know, we passed 25 and 25, and all of you are really supportive of it. But when it happens to be in your district, as Representative Clark did, and Karen and I get along well, Karen, so don't get mad at me, but it's true. You know, there's a biofuel burner going in by her district, and they don't want it there. And you, in fact, killed it in your committee. But we got to put them, because we're mandated by the 95 Prairie Islands law. We got to have so many megawatts. And, you know, the words, well, put them up in rural Minnesota because you don't have the concentration of people. You know, there seems to be a lot of hypocrisy around here when it comes to what you folks want, and then what you do when it comes to implementing the laws that you push more than anybody else around here. So I don't know if I even support the amendment itself, but I'm going to support it because my roommate said I don't want him yelling at me tonight. But I don't think we've studied, Representative Riley, what the effect will be on an industry that, whether you like it or not now, and also was pushed by several people at this table, the ethanol part of it, which was a choice that, because of pollution in downtown St. Paul, that we had to go to. Yeah, university and smelling, everybody forgets that. We had the choice to go to ethanol or some type of mix of petroleum-based gas. So the same people that put 25 and 25 and everybody puts ethanol, now that's no good either. So, you know, I think we should have Edina figure this out.
Any further discussion then on the 1659X amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. We now have the bill before us as amended. Any discussion on the bill? We've got several hands going up. Representative Cornish, I think, was the first one I saw.
Chair members, I just want to make sure that even with the amendments, there is peace in the valley here. My understanding is that it might have made the Farmers Union happy, but especially the Green Union, is that the other farm groups and the growers groups and the retailers and the auto dealers aren't really in love with this thing. And so, and I'm a little bit troubled with the statement that Representative Horton gave, which he said that this study will verify that it's no negative effect on ethanol. I mean, it's always like a presupposed conclusion. That's what I worry about this whole study. And so I guess if I had the choice, I would torpedo this bill. I don't like it. And turn it into completely into a study and then wait and before we enact anything. I just want to make sure that everybody knows there's not peace in the valley, even with the amendments.
Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hartman. To the, I'm applying to 2.25 of the original bill, to 2.29. I'm just curious, does that, if there were standards, let's say, you know, the production trucks that the mines have or logging equipment, skidders, loaders, harvesters, would those be included also in that? Is that an off-road vehicle?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rucavina, yes, those would be excluded also. They're excluded by the language at lines 2.9 and 2.10, but since that's a legal reference, we also put it in plain English, and so you have a belt and suspender.
Well, we need the suspenders
because I think we're
getting passed on this one.
Representative Cipher.
Mr. Chair, I was wondering what the motion was to send this where?
Wait for me.
Mr. Chair, I've heard a lot of concern from the farm groups about this, mainly because of the effect it has on farm trucks. And in this state, my understanding is there's more trucks sold than cars. And I'm wondering why the motion would not be to send it to the Ag Committee.
The bill is before, what, well, which committees, Representative Hartman, did the bill go to before it arrived in full finance?
Just Environment, Policy, Commerce, Government Operations, Environment Finance? Environment Finance, and then we had an informational hearing in a co-meeting of Agriculture Finance and Agriculture Policy.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to make a motion, which is a higher motion, to send it to the, I don't know which one, Ag Policy, or I guess Ag Finance, for the simple reason that I don't know that our agricultural community has had an opportunity with agriculture-minded legislators to be able to have a fair discussion about the bill. They can talk about the implications on, you know, government operations and environment, but I'm sure the chair of the committee would give it a fair hearing, and it's, you know, the votes are there. We know what the majority is here, but I think the Ag folks deserve a chance of a hearing. I mean, we've had people, the author and others today, say, well, it's not really ready, or we got to work on this or work on that. You know, we're one committee from going to the House floor with this thing. And there's plenty of time. We're still in April. We don't get done until May 19th. I don't see it as a dilatory motion. It's, we've got weeks to go until session is done. It's something that can get a fair hearing, get a vote, and head over to Ways and Means. I just simply think that a bill of this magnitude that has this type of an effect on people And many people have no idea of how this is going to affect our folks out in rural Minnesota with the number. My district, the number of SUVs and farm trucks outnumber small vehicles probably 2 or 3 to 1. And I think we need to have the discussion about how this is going to impact the cost, how it's going to impact livelihoods, how it's going to impact our ag community. And so I'm going to make that motion, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to ask for a roll call.
Okay, the motion has been made to re-refer the bill to the Ag, Finance, and Veterans Affairs Division. A roll call has been requested. Any
Mr.
discussion
Chair?
On the motion? Representative.
Mr. Chairman and members, I think the reason why it's not necessary is that you've seen in this bill, you've seen a delayed implementation on 2.25. And the answer is that those committees will have a very highly detailed hearings on it when there's real information. All of this falls to real information, which will be before them at this time, as opposed to just looking at, there have been multiple studies, including, the author could probably do this better than me, including the governor's clean environment study that is all recommended that this be done. What this does is this delays it for a year. This says that it will not be passed till the end of the last legislature, and puts out exactly the parameters that you want to see, and clearly they'll be able to do more. So instead of just sending it to a committee that probably would have put this amendment on it, it's the amendment is on and it's ready to go. And I would urge that we vote against the Seifert motion.
Representative Dunkey.
And Mr. Chair and members, we had an informational hearing, but Representative Seifert's right. We never had the bill before us. My concern as chair was the amendment that's before us right now, because we didn't, regardless of Representative Greiling, the two studies that were completed, they never looked at all the issues that are in this amendment. They never once considered the flex fuel vehicle fleet and the effect of E85 fuel usage and management in this state. And so that's why I wanted to see it, because we have $15 million a year investment, or biennium investment per year, investment in ethanol. And I want to make sure that investment was safe. Plus, if we needed money to pay for the study, I needed to have finance. So technically, the finance side of it has been covered here, and it becomes more of a policy issue at that point in time. And Representative Tremba is the chair of that committee. But I've satisfied at least my concerns, as Representative Kahn said, with this amendment. That would have been the gist of my discussion down there, because frankly, I don't think we can get answers. We've had the hearing, and like I said, people are diametrically opposed. It's absolutely 180 degrees, one side to the other. There is no middle ground whatsoever that I could ascertain at this point in time, which really bothers me. And so that's why this amendment's here, and that's why we're delaying an action of this for 1 year, so we can get some more answers, particularly as it pertains to that. So my questions have been answered, and I don't need to see the bill at this point.
Mr. Chair, I'd heard up until today that the chairman of the Ag Finance did want to see the bill, but I guess he just answered that. But there's many other members on the committee that also have an interest in this, and that's part of the whole committee process that this is over. But it seems to me that it's a bit of a sham to say, well, we're going to study it, but who cares, because it's still going to be implemented no matter what comes back, because the threshold for anybody to change this, Mr. Chair, and for the author, is going to have to be to delete the legislation or have something pass that would stop this from being implemented, no matter what study. They could come back with a one-sheet piece of paper, and that could be the study, but until you're forcing the legislature to have to act to stop this, that is the cart before the horse mentality. Often when we create a study, we do a study so then we can come back a year later and implement the legislation with the questions answered. So to do a study is a, with it being implemented anyway, is a bit of a sham. So I really do think we need these answers. And the other option is that we turn this into a full-fledged study, so in fact we get details back, and then we discuss implementation next year. So, members, I would highly urge us to support this, to send it to the Ag Finance Committee. I'm disappointed that the chair maybe doesn't request this because I still think there's a lot of unanswered questions here. If we pass this the way it is, the study is really meaningless because it's going to happen either way.
Representative Parkman?
No. I don't have anything to
add. Clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Cole.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we vote on this, because I'm not sure what's going to happen with this. I actually have an oral amendment to the bill before we vote to move it to any committee.
We've got a higher motion before us right now. If it remains here, then your amendment would be in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize.
Representative Westrom.
Another question. I guess I would have a question from somebody in the ag sector, Farm Bureau or somewhere, on whether they feel the study amendment is satisfactory and it alleviates concerns in rural America or rural Minnesota or not. Would I be able to ask one of them to come forward and give us insight from the rural perspective on whether they think it should go to the Ag Finance Committee or if the study has alleviated the concerns and fears?
Can we have somebody that's willing to come forward? You heard the question, so if you can just address the question and identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. Chris Raddatz, Director of Public Policy for Farm Bureau. I believe the first question, if we think it should go to the Ike Finance Committee, is yes, we'd still support that action so there could be further review in that committee. And then as far as the study, first of all, we haven't had the time to talk to our president, and I would just say that we are concerned that we're studying something that would be implemented anyway. So we do have some concerns about the process. We're supportive of the study, but we're concerned about the process that's being set up.
Okay, thank you. Representative Lucavina.
Yeah. So the Farmers Union?
Farm Bureau.
I know who he is. Oh. But I don't care about the Farm Bureau. I ain't going to have Farm Union. So I want to know what the Farmers Union is.
You're posing the question of the Farmers Union?
Here.
He's on the way down.
This is like the chamber.
You just like that word union, don't you, Representative Lucavina?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Tom Peterson with the Minnesota Farmers Union. And, you know, I guess we wouldn't be opposed to it going to the Ag Committee, but as Chairman Junkie said, you know, we've been working with Representative Hortman and are comfortable with the amendments added and also with the study language. We think that for many reasons we're comfortable with it going forward as it is today.
Okay, thank you. Representative Rappel.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Junkie, let me just ask a very brutally honest question here. Is the concern that if this bill is referred to the Agriculture Committee, the votes won't exist to pass it out, and that's why you're opposed, and that's why there's opposition to this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Grapple, I don't believe so. I do not believe so. I had given had I not been able to do this amendment here today, I had told the author that I would give the bill a hearing and I would take a vote on it, that I wouldn't just bottle it up and kill it. And I believe that the votes would have been there to move it out with this amendment.
Okay. I
just out of committee. Now, I don't know about finance if it ever would have moved out of here or Ways and Means the next stop, but I think we could have got it back out of a division up to here. But again, I'm surmising.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Grapple.
I worry sometimes in this committee we overthink things. I remember last year we had the smoking ban, and we had a motion to refer the smoking ban to Representative Rukavina's committee, who was think it's fair to say, had some problems with the piece of legislation. And we sat and thought about it, and, you know, people were talking about how we were going to kill this legislation if it went off to this committee. There was some additional review. Representative Rukavina, you actually put a good amendment on it there that made the legislation. And actually, in reality, whether we want to admit it or not, I actually think the smoking ban got saved when it got sent to your committee, Representative Rukavina, off the House floor. And I respect the, you probably don't want to hear that, Representative Rukavina, but, and you know, this is a complex bill. I think reasonable people can disagree about it. I'm just, you said you don't want to hear the bill, and I'm trying to understand why, and if there's a reason why you can't answer that now, I understand that. It would seem that would be a reasonable measure for the chair. Just that you'd act on it this week and send it back here. We're still going to have the votes here. I feel like I'm missing part of the conversation here.
On again, Mr. Chair.
Representative Seifert.
I'll yield to Representative Junkie today.
Representative Junkie.
Well, just to respond, Representative Garofalo. Again, I was thinking of the Rukavina movement last year on the tobacco bill and smoking bill when I requested it. And again, I had told the author as late as this weekend that it was my intent to hear it and to put the study language on. So I've accomplished what I think were the concerns of the finance part of it, which would have been funding this study, which has been addressed here, and then making sure that we're looking at the various aspects of E85, which are under the purview ethanol of our committee and the funding we do to it. So, you know, I'm also a fiscal committee. I realize that, but policy is tied to fiscal habits around here too. So I realize that. But again, in this, we have a separate policy division, and I suggest maybe it should have gone there earlier, but it didn't go there either before deadline. I'm sincere in that. It was not my intent to bottle this up. And when the offer came from the chair to wait and draft the amendment today, I wasn't prepared with the amendment this morning. That's why I needed it in my committee, because I think work should be done down in the lower committees, not in finance or ways and means. But when the offer came to do it today, we started drafting and we did it here.
Mr. Chair, in listening to Representative Junkie, I think I'll withdraw that motion and move on to Representative Coles's amendment, whoever he happens to be, but I do think that there's work that needs to be done on this, and it looks like there's only one stop to go.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not
going to offer. So I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, the motion is before us, and that House File 863, the first committee on gross and as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the committee on ways.
Sir.
Request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk, take the roll.
Carlson?
Aye.
Anderson?
No.
Clark?
Aye.
Cornyn?
No.
Earhart?
Yes.
Vinson?
No.
Ruffalo?
No.
Greiling?
Aye.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hausman?
Yes.
Heikirken?
No.
Holtz?
Aye.
Howes?
No.
Huntley?
Aye.
Yarrow?
No.
Junkie?
No.
Kahn?
Aye.
Coles?
No.
Linchevsky?
Yes.
Leader?
Yes.
Mahoney?
Yes.
Mariani?
Yes.
Murphy? Otrimba?
Yes.
Tamar?
Aye.
Polowski?
No.
Pepin?
No.
Poppy?
No.
Rukavina?
No.
Thaler?
Yes.
Seifert?
No.
Severson?
No.
Simon?
Yes.
Slavik?
Yes.
Solberg?
No.
Keeson?
Yes.
Orgenius?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
Westrom?
No.
Hmm.
Being 20 ayes and 18 noes, the bill is passed and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair?
In all likelihood, our next meeting will be early next week. At least at this point in time, we don't plan to reconvene the committee this week.
Mr. Chair, members of the Ways and Means Committee, would you report immediately for hopefully a fairly short meeting? And I want to be able to start right away in room 5.
Maybe
get a quorum anyway.
Yeah.